Welcome back, everyone. Today I am joined by Katie Jane, who is a sound healer, Reiki master, composer, and her modality covers tuning fork therapy, vibroacoustic therapy, crystal sound bars, and runs numerous workshops and trainings. We're going to talk about all those modalities and sound and healing and how they go hand in hand. She is a brilliant musician, and I'm always telling her, and I will tell everyone now, how much I love her piano. So welcome so much, Katie, today.
Oh, thank you so much, Jen. It's so lovely to be here with you, talking about sound and music and healing.
Yes.
What a beautiful introduction. Thank you.
We often talk to each other in song, don't we, sometimes?
I think 90% of the time we talk, it is spoken song. Yes.
So do you want to tell everyone, like, how did you arrive into this practice? And, like, do you have a background in music? If you can just let everyone know, like, the journey to this point now.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like I'm only young, but I feel like my life has been so long. I feel like the whole journey that I've taken with music, I feel like every aspect of my life has been building into this world of sharing sound therapy and creating music. From a young age, I was always really encouraged to be surrounded by learning classical piano and the clarinet and studying music theory. When I was young, I guess it's like a love for music was born from my mum. My mum passed away when I was, I think, 9. Mm-hmm. So her joy and love for me playing music kind of kept me in the realm of music, because I felt like I owed it to her to give her a little slice of. And then as I became a teenager and became more serious about music, I also started to realize that there was an emotional response and an aspect of my own, I guess, processing that trauma from being a little human, and realizing when I started to play music, I started to innately compose my own music and make my own sounds on the piano. And I would find that the really heavy energy that I would be in would be released when I started to play from that really authentic expression, from that emotional space. And then I found that the music that was being created was actually really beautiful and allowed other people to be able to connect to the energy that I was offering. So I think it was like a catharsis in sound, which made me realize, hey, there's something more to just playing classical music. So then I went and studied at the University of Queensland doing a Bachelor of Music, classical music. And I knew that I wanted to be a music therapist, but I always felt like the course was missing the major components of discussing consciousness, mm-hmm. and talking about like specific frequencies and like the vibrational nature of this reality. So then I went to San Francisco and I studied at the Globe Institute of Sound Therapy,
Mm.
Yeah. And then I just started my own line of work and have been really busy ever since.
Yeah. I think it's really important what you touched on there. Like I love music, but I've never been someone who was good at the practical applications of it. Like, you know, I had organ lessons, I had piano lessons.
Organ lessons.
I know. Do you remember the good old organ? Yeah.
At the church, yeah.
Yeah, my mum whacked me into organ lessons. And the first song I remember playing was Patrick Swayze, She's Like the Wind from Dirty Dancing. And I was so proud of myself for playing it. But that was coming at it from a really structural, you know, and they often relate music and mass together. And that's something that my brain just doesn't compute. And it wasn't until I got a lot older and I played guitar, and I'd get to a certain level with musical instruments, you know, sort of like an intermediate level, let's call it. And then I just found it became too hard, like that next advanced step became too hard. And I think it was because of the structure approach. Mm-hmm. And I would hope to think, I mean, I'm very out of touch now, I would hope to think that music is approached a little differently. And like you said, it does miss out on this huge other aspect. You know, like rather than just the structural, like, you know, the notes and learning about
theory and form.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And composing, and the frequency aspect is really, really missing out about it. So what was the most interesting like key takeout when you were learning that sound therapy? What was something that sort of was a standout for you that you thought, oh, this is something I really want to pursue?
Jen, every single day my brain exploded. So we started class at 7 or 8 a.m. and we sometimes ran all day until 9 o'clock. So I learnt in a really immersive, intensive training course. And there were different teachers teaching about sacred geometry and teaching about tuning forks and consciousness. And every single day it was like a remembering of all of the things that I knew on an unconscious level were possible, but then delivered in a really scientific, tangible way. So it was really amazing to be able to see, hey, there's such a spiritual component, but also, like you said, music and maths, there is structure and there is form and there is a basis to the whole universe that is following this pattern. It's following like this harmonic structure and sequence. So I think like the coolest aspect for me was to be able to merge the spirit and the science world, because I think my brain, I like to think that I'm a creative person, but I think mostly my brain is very formulated and logical and scientific. But I think the coolest day was the day that I learned, one, about vibroacoustic therapy, and two, I watched a video of a TEDx chat, and I'll link it to you, of a man finding the resonant frequency of a cancer cell and turning up the amplitude and exploding that one single cell.
Like shattering it with music? Was it?
They shattered it with a frequency. So they went through a bunch of different frequencies to find the resonant frequency of this one cancer cell in the person's body. Actually, I don't know if it was in a body. I feel like it must have been in a petri dish or something. And because they found the resonant frequency of that, when you turn up the volume, you can actually explode it. Kind of like when you sing a very, very high pitch and you find the resonant frequency of a wine glass and it shatters.
Yeah, right. I remember someone once explaining to me, because I was always such a proof person, like, I need proof. I mean, which is just crazy. I mean,
which is healthy as well, though.
Yeah, but like, you know, you only have to think about music, and I'm such an emotionally sensitive person, you know, it moves you to tears. I mean, that's the key is in that word there. It's moving you. And someone taught me about cymatics, and, you know, they put all the, like, sort of like a substance, say, let's just say flower or something, on the speaker. And they set it to different frequencies, and as they were tuning the frequencies, the sacred geometrical patterns were forming, and I was absolutely blown away. It took me like a couple of days to process, like, and I was thinking, okay, so if that can happen to this tiny grain molecule-y thing on top of a speaker, our body is just full of like cells. We can attune our body to that, and it has a definite reaction. And you posted the other day something that I'm really interested in too, is how frequency vibration changes the structure of water. And that's something that I've been working at with my light language, but also the intention that you put into it too. And it's fascinating that it changes the whole composition.
It's so interesting when you think about, I think it was Dr. Bruce Lipton. I was watching a documentary with him and another man, and the same experience where you watch the cymatics and you see the structures shifting and forming, and it makes you realize everything can change into perfect order, harmony, equilibrium within an instant. Like people think that healing is this very long, deep process, and it can be, but there can be this aspect to it where everything second to second is shifting in vibration. And if we can change the whole body's vibration to one of health and harmony, and just change the geometrical shapes and patterns within ourselves, within our, like, the water, our body is 70% water.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to think, like, sound travels 5 times faster through water than it does air. So it's like when you're playing a sound bath or when you're laying on a vibro table, your body is a super conductor of the sounds and the energy and the frequency.
Totally.
So it's like the perfect medium to be for healing.
Exactly. And it comes to no surprise to me that I light language myself. And for those of you not listening, that's sort of like a heart spoken language. And it's also involves like holding notes. I do it when I'm in water and then when I'm in the ocean, because I am fully immersed in that sort of healing environment. So I guess maybe that's a good segue into talk about. So what are some of the benefits of your sound healing modalities?
Ooh.
Oh, so that's many.
That's a big one.
I know.
I guess I always lead with sound positively or negatively, but when used with proper intention, affects every aspect of the human. So we have the mental benefits. There's physical benefits, like we've said, with vibroacoustic therapy, being able to shift the structure of the body to be able to send signals through the meridians, clearing any blockages. We can find the resonant frequency of bone density to help regenerate bones. Like I remember at school, I learned they did a study and the frequency of a cat's purr, which is like 24 to 48 hertz, regenerates human bones. And they did a study where they put a bunch of people with broken bones in a room full of cats. And the purr, the deep vibration of the purr, encouraged the bone material to regenerate.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Which is amazing. And then it affects your emotional sense and connects you into source. Like every aspect of a human can be positively affected through sound.
Yeah, and something that I love listening to, and it comes through a lot in my sessions, is the frequency of 5 to 8 hertz, which is miracles. And more importantly, it's used by scientists for DNA repair. And also like when they're trying to separate blood and stuff, it's the frequency used to often by biomedical, I'm going to stuff up their title, sorry, biomedical people, but I was going to say biomedical whooshes because I was doing the blood whirring thing, but when they're separating like aspects obviously within the cellular structure, and and I don't think a lot of people don't know about the solfeggio frequency. Do you know much about it?
Yeah, the solfeggio frequencies were back in the day when they had in the church like hymns and Gregorian chants, there were different tones that people would sing, and they would go into the space and the cathedral would have like a acoustic resonance within it propelling the sound. So each of the tones have a, I guess, energetic property or a like a specific characteristic of that frequency. So 174 hertz is the base frequency, and that's to do with pain relief. So I used to suffer extremely from endometriosis, and I found that when I listened to 174 hertz and I have a tuning fork in that frequency, it's minimizing my experience of pain. Or they have the 369 hertz, which is for like releasing guilt and shame and transforming anger. So they all have a different, I guess, healing property.
Yep. Yeah.
Depending on whatever your intention is behind it. But I believe it started back in the day.
The monk times.
Chant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. Like I've been listening to 639 a lot. I see mine also firstly in colors and chakra. Like I feel like they're definitely connected to chakra aspects. Mm-hmm. So I see it as like, you know, like 396 root sacral and then 417, like, because that's like transformation, fixing emotional broken situations, and then you know, you're moving up heart and 639, 741, 85. It just keeps going. But I have a fantastic app, and it's all about the solfeggio, and they're like guided meditations with that frequency in the background, and it's all connected. So it's like frequency, chakra, then the emotional and spiritual components. And I think it's such a beautiful like blending and wrap up of how you use all those dimensions to heal, like sound therapy. So that's been a big, I was just fascinated by it too.
And you don't need to know. I think the amazing thing about sound and music is, as you said, like it's a universal language and you don't need to know the science.
No.
The fact is it makes you feel, it makes you move. You don't have to consciously understand like the hierarchy of sound and frequencies. It's like when you can allow yourself to be open and to resonate and to shift your, I guess, emotional vibration, your physical vibration to what's being offered, you don't really have to do much. You just have to be open to allowing the sound, because it is a physical thing, to work on all of the levels.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah. So with your, I don't know what to call them, instruments, I guess, is possibly the correct terminology for like your crystal bowls and your tuning forks. Do you have all different frequencies, and how do they, do you, are you intuitively guided? Do you have your clients ask you for a particular thing? How does it work with your sessions?
Oh, I love that. When I first bought my crystal bowls, I feel like you have a kind of unspoken connection with them. They're kind of like have their own little personalities, I guess. It's really interesting getting to know them and spending more time. I guess crystal consciousness is alive. It is a life form. And like, it's interesting seeing which bowls talk to each other the best. I have one bowl and it's made out of androgynous indium, and that's amazing for balancing the left and right hemispheres, the masculine and feminine energy. I have a Venusian bowl, which is really calming. Like, each of the different bowls have their own frequency, but then their own energetic property. When a client comes in for a session, I kind of just intuit what, I guess because I'm so empathetic, when I have a client, I can feel in my body what they feel in their body. And I kind of, it's not a mental process anymore, because it is such an intuitively guided process. But I think for people interested in sound therapy, there are definitely ways to incorporate specific frequencies for different ailments. I have found using the tuning forks now, I start my session with tuning forks and it works like a diagnostic tool. So you know how we have our, obviously we have our physical body, but then we have the layers of our energetic field. When you run a tuning fork over somebody's energy field, the quality and the consistency of the pitch of the tuning fork actually changes. If there is a blockage in energy, the sound will go silent over the kneecap, so it might indicate that like they've had surgery, or maybe over the heart space. So it's really interesting to be able to use sound as a repairing tool, but also as a diagnostic to find where the blockages are in someone's energy field.
Yeah. Something that I want to bring up that you may not know, that I spend a lot of time listening to your beautiful, she pops up a lot of amazing things that your healing sessions on Instagram, and I love it. And I also listen to your music, but I've noticed that when I'm listening to anything to do with the crystal bowls and the sound bar things, it creates whole brain synchronization for me. Which, if people aren't familiar with that, that's the balancing of your left and right hemispheres, and it opens the doors to so many amazing benefits and faster and easier learning, and it really shifts your mental health. And I just wanted to bring that up, because a lot of people who practice energy work, we get out of alignment pretty quickly. And I think music is one of the, and sound healing therapies and modalities, one of the quickest ways to bring us back together. And for also my neurologist, who's pretty open-minded, he talks about how the benefit of the modalities that you use help with a process called neurogenesis. So discovering that like our brain's neuron count is not set for life, and that music can help generate our neurons. And it's just fascinating that that's what sound can do, the power of it.
And how rapidly too, when I guess that's the basis of, but I guess there's two main bases of sound therapy. One is resonance, where a stronger vibration can shift a weaker vibration, and there's different laws of resonance. But the main one also is, as you said, brainwave entrainment. So playing one tone in the left ear and another tone in the right ear is slightly different, and creating almost like a rhythmic binaural effect. And it's asking your brain to make up a third tone. And that's where the synchronizing of the two hemispheres come together. And they say that studies have shown that's only really possible in an organic state, if you are like an advanced meditator sitting in a cave somewhere, or when you're in the space of pure creativity in that theta brainwave state, where you are kind of like channeling higher consciousness. And it's interesting, it only takes around 1 to 2 minutes to come from that really high alert brainwave stress, overly, like you've had 5 cups of coffee, you're sitting in traffic stressed brainwave state. And then when you listen to the music with headphones, it takes like 1 to 2 minutes for your brainwaves to start firing and entraining to that slower rhythmic pace in getting you into that state. So I think definitely for people who do high stress work, having something that they can come to and be like, okay, I'm just going to listen to this for 5 minutes and consciously know that that is doing what it needs to.
Yeah, you just touched on binaural beats. That's been a lifesaver for me and anyone who suffers from neurological distress, like migraines. That balancing, that has helped me immensely. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were reading a book a little while ago. I sound like the biggest Instagram stalker. But it's our work is complementary in an aspect. So were you reading a book called The Healing Power of Sound? Am I correct?
Oh, you would be correct. 10 points. Yes.
Yes, tick. Have you finished the book?
Yes, I have. I read it maybe a few years ago.
Okay. Tell me, what drew you to that book and what were some of the key outtakes maybe from that book? Have you applied any of that to your current practices?
I guess the key aspects for me was being able to see at that time when I was reading it, I just finished sound school and I hadn't had a practical application of understanding how sound can be used.
Mm-hmm.
So that book speaks a lot on toning, and they speak a lot about, they give the science of the sound, but then they give a little story about how in their own therapy practice they have witnessed the change and transformation of their clients. So it's like really informational, but then you can connect to it and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you could do that with sound.
Yeah.
And from that book, I was actually inspired. A friend came to me and she had I think one of her fingers was broken and it wasn't healing. And I was like, psh, I reckon we can hear.
Let's give it a crack.
First week of sound healing. I reckon we can do this. And I got some inspiration from that book and I put in some Rife frequencies and did some tuning forks and some energy. And 2 days later, she went for a scan because the doctors were like, we're going to have to book you in. And her finger wasn't broken anymore.
Oh,
and
my
I was
God.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
So that book was really inspiring to just see what you can experiment with.
Yeah, and what I love about sound, I mean, it's often and commonly referred to as sound medicine, and we were just chatting before, like, whilst we don't want to take away from the medical profession, I'm not the biggest fan of it necessarily, and I really wholeheartedly believe in finding your own practices. And once you gain a level of awareness into your body and you can connect into your own field, that's when the power of sound really has a significant impact and shift on you, because you're that much more connected and in alignment with it. So it can really start causing profound shifts, I think. So,
mm-hmm. And when people become more aware of their own internal landscape, like in my sessions, I encourage people to, and it's interesting how terrifying the thought is, to make the sound of how you feel.
Oh, absolutely.
Making the sound of how you feel is the most important aspect, because like children are the best sound therapists. They are constantly having an experience, making the sound of how they feel, releasing that energy. We get old and we're taught to be quiet. We're told, don't make that sound. Don't tell me how you really feel. And then wonder why we have all of these compacted energies in our system crystallizing and forming disease and physical ailments. So it's like when we can be in tune with our body, make the sound of how we feel and learn to tone. If you close your mouth and make a vibration, you can heal. Like, you don't need all of this stuff. You can heal yourself. You can do that with your own voice.
How would you sound today, Katie?
How do I sound today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mine's more like. There you go. There you go.
I love it.
Now,
love it.
What if someone said to you, like, tuning forks can be, like, I love listening to them, but if we get into the tech aspects of it,
mm-hmm.
I saw a book the other day and it was talking about tuning in the human biofield. So,
Eileen Madej McCusick.
Yeah. So, what does that really? For everyone listening who might not be that familiar with that, what does that simplified mean?
Simplified, it means that all of our life's trauma and experiences and energy that we don't allow ourselves to feel or acknowledge or express stays within our, not our physical body, but within our auric field. So we have a biomagnetic field that surrounds, like all of life force has an energetic field. And within our field, when there are blockages and traumas unexpressed, they stay in this field. And what tuning forks do, it gives the user the ability to create a pure tone and shift that energy and then allow that to filter through and release. So I guess she talked a lot about kind of like, you know, how like the tree, the rings of a tree, mm-hmm. when you, it dictates how many years it's been alive. With our physical body, apparently the first layer out from our body is our most recent experiences, and then you come out another layer until it's like your early childhood. So oftentimes, like in a session, I'll find something to the right hand side of someone's field over their knee, and it will be like, oh, did you used to play sport as a kid? And they'll be like, yeah, I broke my knee when I was 11. And I can find that actual memory. It's encoded and written in their field, and I can actually hear that and feel that. So it talks a lot about
that. Is brilliant.
The energy. Yeah, it's really, you think that it's not going to work every time, and then you, something like that and happens, and you're like, oh my gosh.
I mean, that is,
without a doubt,
that is, yeah, a phenomenal gift that you have. And so that's another great little sidestep into. So what can people expect from sessions from you? Like, what do you offer? What do you provide? And do they need to prepare anything? Can it be remote? How do you operate them?
Ooh, I do a lot of different things in my sessions. I guess the first thing is someone wanting to, like, I can't do any, no one can do anything without someone's genuine desire. And I guess mostly what I do is help people to connect in to their own guidance and their own knowledge of, I guess I like to say that I take people home in my sessions. I kind of give them a break from this really 3D human experience and say, hey, let's go like back and remember, touch that aspect of your soul that is eternal, that is already healed, that is already whole. But on a more practical sense, people come in, I chat with them about what's going on. I come and lay them on my vibroacoustic therapy table, which is essentially a lounge that vibrates and puts the frequencies and energy and vibrations into the body. So with the bowls, you hear the sound, but with the vibro table, you feel it in every aspect of your body. So it's like this warm vibration coming up and down your body, and you're kind of like cocooned in this like vibrational vortex. And then I ask them to express how they feel, and then I do some energy work. I do cord cutting, I do DNA activations, upgrades. I've learned a lot from Alicia Brashe, who I think you've...
Yes, we all learn a lot from her, our wonderful way shower.
The most inspiring, energetic teacher ever. Yeah.
Yes. We just need to like have multiple Alicias all around the earth so we can all get our gifts.
I
don't
think the earth would stay as it is. We would
a rapid ascension. Straight away. Whoosh. Yes, but much love to her.
I think that explains what I do.
Yeah, it's and I think what is so light language just freaks people way out there, but I think music is a nice slidey gateway.
It's not so fringe.
Yeah, it's a gateway into, you know, like it's not that much of a stretch for people to be like, all right, I can sit here and, as one of my male friends said, listen to some dinging bowls for a while.
To be fair, sometimes it does sound like dinging bowls, and that can be very annoying too. Like, not every sound everyone's going to resonate with. Like, some people might love the gong, but some people might be so... That's another thing. Like, different sounds trigger different aspects. If you're wildly depressed, an activating sound bath would be amazing. But if you're anxious, going to a gong bath is going to overstimulate you. Yeah, like...
be gonging out of control.
So there's different energies to create for different everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Everyone, even if... I remember when I first started and I felt like people were like, you do what? You do energy and sound? Now with my practice, it's like, with the table, people can just literally feel it and they can close their eyes and they can just experience while.
Yeah. And such a beautiful thing is less words, more feeling, you know, from our senses, especially through the heart space, taking you. Music has that beautiful ability coupled with the energy to take you to those places that we've just described.
Yes, music is a transportational tool. That is my favorite ever discovery of, like, when I first started channeling music, I would leave my body and I'd just go on this giant adventure and I'd come back an hour later and I'd have to go sit down and be like, oh my gosh, like, there's totally portals that open in sound.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely.
And interestingly enough, if you resonate with that sort of starseed aspects or a lot of galactic aspects, but even angelic, they're all deeply, deeply immersed in music. Like, you think about all the angelic hymns and songs that come through the angelic frequencies, how that's being constructed through religion, through song especially. So there's like, it's very interesting.
And like, the Arcturian, like, I remember trying to find out why I was innately like this, and then connecting with Alicia and reading about different star systems and realizing, oh wow, like, I do believe my soul has learned this over time and time again on different planets that use sound and light and color technology. And I feel like definitely a part of my reason for being here is to bring forth a sliver of that technology and that consciousness, and I don't know, make a resurgence from the ancient Egyptian days and bringing forth this vibrational medicine perspective.
Yeah, and it is all bringing that remembrance of our home aspects, I guess. Like, I think with my light language, that's how everyone talks up. I was like, don't you talk like that? And more and more and more slowly, people, even in Sydney, which surprised me, more and more people are being activated. And I think through having a session with you or with someone who is doing energy work, if you're guided to it, like anything, there's generally a reason for that. Absolutely.
And like the codes, some people carry codes in their voice. Like, the voice is so powerful to be activating people. So it's like, you could be sent having a conversation with someone who is a light language or sound therapist or energy healer, and it's like the actual frequency of their voice can be activating people. So you could be talking to a stranger, they don't even know, but there's an energetic unlocking and they go away and they're like, oh whoa,
yeah,
I've just been activated, and it's not even in a session, you know.
Yeah, and they wonder why they're like, you know, can't get off the couch for 3 days while they're integrating. Oh, dearie me. Oh,
bless.
What else was I going to ask you? Oh, so have you – okay, there are two things I kind of wanted to ask. What's the biggest transformation that you've seen with a client, if you feel free to disclose that, through your work? What are some of the leaps and bounds and the profound shifts that you've seen come into fruition?
Oh, I guess for myself to start with, I've gone from – since starting being my journey, spiritual awakening, whatever, I guess coming from a space, I was in chronic pain. I pretty much just lived inside, like, 3 weeks out of the month with endometriosis. I was crippled and couldn't really do anything. I had dengue fever from when I was living in Colombia. So watching my journey with anxiety and depression and all of those energetic swings, coming to a space now where I don't have any pain and I feel like I've truly healed from endometriosis and healed from these, like, deeper aspects that had been encaging me. I feel the liberation through sound that I've experienced has been the biggest transformation, as I think that every therapist that you should be inspired by your own healing. But I think, I don't know, people come in and have two sessions and I see them a month later and they look like a completely different person. Like, I think the transformation is on such a level that you couldn't.
Well, it's that DNA cellular and I kind of see it like a holographic field level too. Like, it's innately changing their blueprint, right? Like,
And also giving people a space to just let go of all of the junk. Like, we're already so pure, it's about shedding what isn't true. So I think in sound, it's like taking like a grater and just like scraping off all the old, just like getting rid of all the old stuff.
Such a good way of it. All the goop, Oh, the goop.
Come to me. Let me get my cheese grater and
yeah.
grate with
sauce. I was going to say, are you sure you're not just sitting there with saucepans and a scour and like, okay, we're just going to scoop all that crap out of your system.
We're having a sound bath now. Get in my physical bath while I scrub you.
A scrub-a-dub-dub. No. A sound exfoliation, if you will. God, you know, I was just thinking, I'm going to ask you all about your fantastic creative products, ventures that you're embarking on, but I just had like a vision of like a spa bath somehow incorporating, like if I could sit in a big crystal bowl that was a bath at the same time.
I've had dreams about that where you actually have a crystal bowl so large that you could lay in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's one day.
But they have crystal bars, like rose quartz bars. I spend a lot of time in my spare time in COVID looking at baths on Pinterest. It's a real problem.
Do COVID right.
Yeah, get in your bathtub, get a big crystal. And then I was like, and then someone could just come in with a humongous, like, I'm not sure what the correct term is. I call it the dinger that makes the sound on the crystal ball. What do you call that? The device.
The mallet.
There you go. Thank you. Not the dinger, everybody. The mallet. And then you could just have some come in and do it behind you. And then the whole bath experience, oh, it'd just be magical.
Very intimate.
But until that happens, can you tell us what you've been working on?
Yeah. So essentially, I have created a sound lounge. So when I was at school, vibroacoustic therapy is quite big in America, but I've searched the internet and I can't find anybody in Australia who is doing it. So I felt the call to make one of these tables. I was going to buy one maybe 2 years ago because the first time I lay on it, I just cried and cried and cried and healed. And it was just the most insane sound experience that I've ever had before. And I was like, how do I recreate this? So my dad is an engineer. Thanks, Dad. And we've started creating sound lounges. So it's essentially like a massage table with embedded tactile transducers, which vibrate the bed. And then I compose music with singing bowls and channeling piano sounds and my voice. And people lay on the table with headphones and then a vibrating pillow. And it allows them to have their own sound experience from home. So we've made three different models where people can have a lounge, or I've made a model for practitioners who maybe do energy work but want to add sound therapy without having to spend a lot of money on crystal bowls and have that kind of formal training. I just wanted to make a space where people could, one, access sound therapy in their own home, like be their own, like skip the middleman of the healer. I guess that's where I want the future to go. I don't want there to be a need for healers. I want everyone to know the stuff and have access to
the tools. Yeah, we'll be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And all be activated so we can all just be our own vibroacoustic system ourselves.
Totally.
And then we could lay on someone else. I could lay on you and you could be my... But...
TM.
That brings like... Never. But yeah, there's a lot again about bodies touching and frequencies and energy, like it's all connected. Like, let me joke about it, but it's definitely connected. So when is that going to be like a veil? When's that going to be happening?
It has happened. I started selling them a month ago. So I've sold three tables, which is really exciting. And I'm going to make a body pillow. I guess I feel for the people who are stuck in Melbourne. I want to give people a chance to have that warm sound therapy, good for anxiety or claustrophobia or just processing what you feel. So you just listen to the headphones and then there's a body pillow.
That sounds amazing. That you
can lay with.
This body pillow. Yeah.
I think that's going to be a very popular one.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder about children in the future, like how that would impact them. If you could have like vibroacoustic like cribs and like little mats.
That's cool. I love that.
Or like sound mats for kids. So we're just brainstorming live.
I love you. We've made a teddy. We've made a teddy for children with autism. So the plushness and the felt sense of the outside of the bear creates that kind of safety feeling where they can connect to their physical body and their senses.
Yeah.
And there's not so much headphones, but the teddy in itself puts out those warm vibrations and the sounds and the frequency. So it's like really calming to the nervous system. It's really grounding into the physical body. So for children who dissociate or have nightmares or have any kind of I guess they're all just sensitive souls.
Well, I was just about to say every child coming through now is, you know, and you've just, by you creating a product that is tailored specifically to these new frequencies, that's what we need. We need to shift the old paradigm of what works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so by you creating that product, it's not only helping them, but it's also helping the parents, like their conscious parenting and how they adapt and attune to these new little bubbly energies that are popping through.
It's so interesting, the new kids. And I just found out that children from until maybe, I think, 4 or 6 are in theta brainwave state. And that's when their subconscious is recording and, I guess, programming itself for the rest of your life. So your experiences in that age, like music therapy and sound therapy, some people are like, oh, don't do it for babies. It's too young. It's like, no.
Get them in there. Do it when they're in the womb. Like,
yeah, totally.
Man, when I give birth to my new age frequency child, I want to be in a crystal bowl bath with a vibroacoustic, like, crib ready to roll. With all my light worker team there. Yeah, with all my team there, chanting, singing, energy aligning me, past life regressing my child at the same time. I want it all happening all at once.
Who knows? That kid might come out and just already be so well and will heal you.
I think that will probably be the case. I don't know how we got onto my...
I'm so terrified to meet my little fresh humans.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they've been making their presence known a little bit. Anyway,
yeah,
but they, you know, and there's so much research too about music and the womb and pregnancy and that mm-hmm. has a huge impact. Gosh, you could make clothes. You could make me some overalls, vibroacoustic overalls for when I'm pregnant.
That is kind of cool. I'm thinking about making a belt. Anyway, there's a ton of things so that we exciting. Can do with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So. We'll keep talking, but just if people want to connect to you, I will put all the links and things below. But for those people who want to know, what's the best way to contact you? And if they want a sample, they can – I've already mentioned your Instagram. So do you want to let people know the best way to reach you?
Yeah, definitely. I have a website for my personal practice, which is just katiejane.me. If you're interested in finding out about vibroacoustic therapy, that website has all the information of the products, the 3 different lounges that we make, and science articles about vibroacoustic therapy, which is vibrosoundhealing.com. And then if you want to email me, you can just email me at hello@vibrosoundhealing.com.
There you go.
And then my Instagram is vibrosound_healing.
Yeah. And she just pops up some really cool content on there. So that's a good one to follow. So what music are you listening to at the moment then?
Oh, I stopped listening to music.
What? Is that because you're so immersed in it yourself?
When I compose, I don't like to. So typically I like to listen to like classical music or orchestral music. But when I'm in a composing phase, I don't like to listen to anyone else's sounds because I only want my channel to be purely from me. Mm. So I guess when I do listen to music, I'm listening to really 3D stuff to just like ground me. Yeah. Because I guess I spend so much of my day recording crystal bowls, being in that high frequency. It's really nice to just listen to like, I don't know, weird, I don't know, basic music.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's totally understandable. That just gave me a huge memory recall back to like one of my experiences on inverted commas, the Arcturian ship or one of our universities, where they were explaining how classical composers or like anyone who does like these phenomenal art, like it's channeled source, basically, like channeled source information, and that music was one of the biggest vessels for that channeling of universal,
carrying the codes,
yeah, universal love frequency, because it would invoke and evoke so much emotion or recall from people when they were doing it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lady emailed me once when I first started putting out music and she's like, hi, I run this blog. Just wanted to let you know that your music carries the codes of the ascension. And at that time I was like, what?
What the fuck? Yeah.
But now that I think about it, it's like now that I'm more conscious to be able to like astral travel and leave my body, it's like I just go up to this – there's this like hexagonal dome that I go to and I'm like, hey guys, and there's like Mozart and like John Lennon and all the people, and I'm like, yo, let's bring just down jam. The things that we need to do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
I'm on this planet. Let's bring the things for the humans.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I often talk about it and the obsession I get with particular bars of music and timing. So Tool does really irregular timing, but it's something in that that is definitely triggering coding for me. That's very mathematically structured as well. Like there's a whole lot of other layers going on there. But what I wanted to also talk about was you are nearly or have finished an album, a new album. Is that correct? Do you want to tell people a little bit about your music, like your actual albums? And maybe if you treat us, we can maybe choose one and we can whack it on the end of this so people can have a little taste of your music or something.
I love that. I compose music under the name Piano Jane. So that is, I guess, essentially like neoclassical piano and sometimes clarinet. It's in similar vein to like Brian Eno or Ludovico Einaudi, that kind of vibe. I guess that music is just an expression of my experiences. I kind of just go through life and then translate what I see and what I feel into sound, and then I guess that acts as like a transportation tool for other people to go and listen, close your eyes and be transported. I think it's quite etheric sometimes because I'm such a, I don't know, airy galactic being, so it's very transportational, but also I embed energy healing into it, so when people are listening it's kind of like grounding in a way as well, like a safe space for people to
be
transported.
I have listened to a lot of the first album a lot. There's a couple of tracks when I was going through some heavy grief, like with Dad, and it was just a comfort to me. Like piano has always moved me to phenomenal heights of emotion that I thought I was unable to feel or express. Like it never ceases to amaze me the depths to which that will plummet me into. One of my favorite movies is The Piano, and the piano soundtrack just kills me. And then I just love the music in that. Can people like book you? Do you do weddings and like I guess you can't now. Look at me, I'm like
Do you do weddings?
hint, booking you in for when and if that ever happens. Yeah.
So I played at a few weddings and I've gigged a few times.
That's I guess the word like I was in Brisbane. Gigging. Gigging. I was like, come on, Jen. Yeah.
I was gigging with my piano and clarinet for a while just as a solo act, but I think the consciousness, I guess it's so weird, Jen, the way that society listens to music is always with this. For me, I see it as like a weird kind of like lower vibrational energy. Like you'll be playing a gig expressing your soul, but people will be drinking lots of alcohol and being out, really loud.
Tapping out or dulling their senses. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like, I can't be bothered to do that. So that's why I like to create. And then on Spotify, I'm getting a pretty good reach now, which is really exciting. So I think just mainly online is a really nice way for people to be able to listen to music.
We will definitely pop down your Spotify thing. So maybe a nice way to finish up is, who are some of the musicians that you enjoy then or have inspired you or you look up to?
I guess the first time I ever heard something that inspired me was impressionistic music back in high school, learning about like Béla Bartók and all of the classical composers that were actually just like wildly depressed and alcoholics and channeling all of their, I guess I love in sound the grief, I guess because of my traumatic childhood or I don't know, just the feeling when people go crazy in sound. I like classical music that is structured and romanticism, but I really like the really music that kind of makes you feel uncomfortable and it takes you to the parts of yourself that are really you don't want to tell anyone about.
Yeah.
You know, those feelings when you're like, oh, I don't want to share that.
Yeah.
But in sound, you can be like, oh, okay, you feel this too?
I think that's why I'm so emotional. Like I've always found it very hard to explain to people. I'm like, I'm incredibly emotional and sensitive, but it's not like I really talk about it or express it. Does that make sense? So people find that distinction very, it's like I'm incredibly emotional, but privately and inwardly emotional.
Whereas on the outside you feel bubbly and all put together and confident and totally.
Like I'm not a hugger and people think that's weird, but my heart is like a big hugger. It's just that's just a whole nother. I just want to throw this out to you. It's just come into my head. I don't know why.
I'm going to catch it.
Let's catch it. Have you heard about the 440 hertz middle A frequency being, have you heard about this conspiracy theory, how music is break it down for me, KJ.
When I went to sound school, I was like, 440 is the worst. And like, they, back in Nazi Germany, they entrained everybody to a frequency that isn't an organic frequency.
Yes, an abomination. Because
if A is 432 hertz, which is like a universal frequency, and then if you go up the scale, that means that C becomes 528 hertz. So if we had tuned our system, if we had our tuning systems based around A432 instead of A440, it would create these really healing harmonics. The 528 every time we played C would be very healing to us. So there's a paradigm or a belief, a thought that we had been detuned for A440. But my teacher at school seemed, David Gibson, he's amazing. If you want to look up people that are influential in the sound therapy field, he was kind of talking about like the ancient pyramids had things tuned to 440, and he didn't seem to think it was like the biggest deal ever.
Interesting.
Obviously, like tuning something to A40, A is 432 hertz, making C 528 is nicer. I don't know. You could... There's a lot to be said. Like, I'm sure that we would live in a different reality if everything wasn't tuned into 440 and was tuned to 432.
Yeah. But I've also seen it popping up in my rabbit holes, you know, like our music needs to be underlined with like 432 instead of 440. I'm like, man, that's a lot of music for me to go and like underlay. Like,
undo. Yeah, I know. And it's like, we're at that and we're used to it. It would be better the other way, but like, man, worrying about.
No.
I'm just of the belief that like there's no one frequency that's going to heal everyone. There's no magic frequency. It's like you need a spectrum of all of the frequencies. So like being in nature is its own frequency. Oh, singing is its own frequency. Like
it's all encompassing and all different. You know, something I really love listening to, I think that's because I'm such a galactic head, is The Sounds of Space. Have you ever listened to that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Uranus, Jupiter, Mars is really scary.
Yeah, but just like also the void of space, like just the war, like the whirring. It's oddly comforting to me. Deep, deep well, of space. Course,
though, because it's like something that you know and it's familiar to you.
Yeah.
Because you're like, yeah.
And I was just going to say to anyone listening, there's like such a wealth of resources like on YouTube for like all the frequencies that we're talking about. Like a website that I really enjoy is Magnetic Minds. They do like pineal gland reconstruction and whole body regeneration. So there's like a plethora of stuff out there. But I also wanted to ask your opinion. If people are listening and they're kind of curious, they want to start, you know, maybe they've got some clapping sticks. Maybe they want to progress from triangle percussion instruments to like crystal balls. What's a good way to get into it? Like what would you...
Because crystal... I just made a course online. I started I made an introductory to sound therapy crystal singing bowl course, and that's on Teachable, and that covers a lot of the science of sound, and it covers like practical use in if you were to buy a crystal bowl or a Tibetan bowl, like how to set sacred space, how different intervals create a different emotional response, how to embed your energy and your intention. So I think that there's like so much stuff to sound therapy. I tried to make it something that is really digestible, but getting into sound in your own realm, there's so much free information out there, and experiencing it yourself and playing around with it. But I always say like science and knowledge is power. Like I think incorporating the spiritual and the science of both of those is what really excites me. And I think... I think a lot of other people are also just innate sound therapists and they're awakening to like, oh, wow, I do remember this. Because I'm having a few people every week reach out and be like, hey, are you running your training soon? And with COVID, I had just prepared to start touring Queensland doing trainings. So I think when everything comes into its whatever it's going to be, I will start traveling around again, which will be exciting.
That's just so exciting. I can't wait to get up there and get on that vibro acoustic bed. That would be amazing. And do it. And then what is a song? It doesn't have to be from the new one, but like what would you, if you could choose a track that you want listeners to, as we conclude the podcast, what's a song we could pop up?
I guess the most beautiful one recently is called Falling, and that's something that I channeled. I like sat and meditated for like half an hour with all of my crystals on my body.
It's amazing.
If anyone had have seen me, it was such a funny sight.
What is she doing?
And I just pressed record, and then it came out, and then I edited a little bit, and I think the response from my friends and people who listened have been really, I feel like it definitely touches home for a lot of people.
Beautiful.
So Falling, and that will be on my new album called, I have not named it yet.
Dun, dun, dun. Watch this space.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so we can add that.
We'll add a little treat to the end of it. And then maybe just to wrap up, is there any messaging you'd like to give to people? Like if you could tell them, if you wanted to instill one thing about your work and the sound healing therapy, what would it be?
Your body is held together by sound, and the more that you can accurately make the sound of how you feel and express yourself by screaming in the car or taking a space to really just make your own sound, that is the most empowering thing that I could suggest, and something that makes me so excited when people feel safe to cleanly and purely express themselves by making sound.
Oh, that was so beautifully said, in that pure sacred space of non-judgment, you know, just total being and alignment. That is beautiful. Thank you.
Or chaos.
Oh, just like, yeah, that too.
Yeah. Just like if you feel angry, make the sound of being angry.
Yeah, just let it rip. We're so used to keeping it all together. That's not how we were designed to be, you know. Like you said before about children making their sporadic sounds and noises, like, you know. I still squeal when I get excited and see things, and I'm not going to stop squealing.
And I really hope that you never do, because that's one of my favorite parts about you is all of the weird and wonderful sounds that you make.
There's so many of them, and who knows, who knows what will come out next. But I just wanted to thank you so, so much for your time and exploring this topic a little bit deeper with me. And like I said, if anyone's interested, we're going to put all of Katie's details down there. She is a phenomenal musician, healer. She's just, oh, you're a real treat to society. You are.
Thank you, Jen. If anyone wants to connect with me, even just to chat about sound therapy, I'd love to talk to you over email or Instagram and spread the word about.
Yeah, just have a conversation. We're all super open and we're all happy to talk about how it can help. So, yeah. So on that note, we will leave you with the beautiful track Falling, and we will catch you on another episode of Infused with Light. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Jen.